Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat, not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. This week on the All About Affordable NFT podcast, our theme is, we seem to be doing a lot about DAOs, but this is about tracking the price, how we tell the price of sort of DAO tokens. So that'll be an interesting one to dive in, especially after our last episode. First off, anything in the news, Andrew?
What have we got? No, I don't have anything ready to go here. What have you got, George?
So something in the news I did see that kind of went silent is Twitter still building even more into the platform. And obviously crypto Twitter has been huge for conversation publicly, but they're apparently working on a full-on tab for blockchain linked collectibles, like a whole UX around saying, hey, here's my wallet. And why I think this is extra interesting is it brings us one step closer to calling wallets something that you keep hidden from people versus, frankly, part of your public profile, right? There's, you know, the difference between calling it a wallet versus your digital profile is truly the digital assets that you own begin to map toward who you are, which kind of concerns me. If you were to look at my wallet right now, it's just a mess of ponies and random things that we find. But that's actually pretty darn big if you're talking about social identity mixing with wallets versus profiles. Any thoughts on that, Andrew?
Yeah.
Agree? Disagree? You're like, nah, that's just a stupid tab on Twitter.
No, absolutely. I believe that these things are going, you know, and you say that it maybe isn't very representative of you, you know, at the same time, like what you've done with your wallet is, you know, is largely spend time on Unzed, and you know that is what you're doing with that wallet at this point. You know, I think in time there's going to be opportunities for that to change. You know, and we're still looking at this, like, I don't know, like which big projects are you in, and you know what major NFT things are you collecting, and there's going to be so many other, I think, NFTs that can speak to more of, you know, what we are about, and it may be not always in the same wallet, but you know, you mentioned some of the projects that you're into outside of this being very social impact focused, and you know why you were interested in ClimaDAO, and you know I think it's things like that when you start seeing tokens, and you know maybe they're, you know, that is a token now, but it wouldn't be surprising to me that if they did have an NFT at some point, you know, that because it does let you show so much more of, you know, what you are interested in to people in a way that isn't really possible with just tokens. So I think that there is, you know, I think it is very meaningful that we're going to have more ways to access this. And I also think that we're probably a long ways from our wallets being very a good representation of who we are in many cases. You know, at this point, it is where we're spending our time when we are in the Web3 world, I would say.
There's a lot of, I mean, pay attention to this. I think you're going to have your wallet, and I think you're going to have your profile wallet. I think there's a world where you're going to want to show off the cooler assets that you have publicly. And like, frankly, it's all public, but there's one thing, you know, we talked about these ETH addresses. Well, where do you want that to go? And like, where do you want that to be your transactional one? Where do you want your hot wallet to be? There's, I think, a lot here in the reason why you see Coinbase rolling out their Coinbase wallet, why I'm pretty darn sure Robinhood's going to follow suit and figure out how to get into the wallet game, because guess what's pretty darn valuable, you know? And I think this is something that credit card companies figured out really quickly by getting a card in that wallet. You own real estate in a very important place that's financially, but now also socially relevant to the individual. So I will keep an eye on pieces like this in the news for sure. Another one I have is from The Giving Block, actually, an NFT Tuesday, the first annual NFT And it's actually NF Tuesday. So NF Tuesday is so going to be December 7th.
Tuesday.
Yeah. It's a non-fungible. This Tuesday, unlike any other Tuesday, will be, it's a non-fungible Tuesday. And that's a good idea. So anyway, the Giving Block also runs a crypto giving Tuesday, along with, if you're not familiar, the largest day of giving in the year, Giving Tuesday, coming after Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, apparently, I think, Cyber Monday. And the Tuesday is meant to be a day when you're supposed to give to your favorite nonprofit, your friend's favorite nonprofit. And the Giving Block has been championing, nailed it, crypto giving on the day as well, Crypto Giving Tuesday. And now this year, NF Tuesday, Non-Fungible Tuesday, where they're going to be highlighting different projects that give back. And I think this is a great, a great marriage of NFTs and social impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we're going to be seeing all sorts of uses of NFTs over the shopping season. Unfortunately, some of them will not be quite as good as this. This does seem like a good way to bring NFTs into a better light rather than just for selling more things.
I like this idea of getting a non-fungible Tuesday. What is like? I think Tuesday is like possibly the most overlooked day. Just like, yeah, it was Tuesday. Average Tuesday, like you just need like a calendar average looking day, and let me just buy that. I think that would be a funny thing. Okay, moving on to our topic, how we understand the price of an NFT DAO token. Now, do we mean like, is this a governance token? How do we define a DAO token specifically, Andrew, versus, an initial coin offering or a general cryptocurrency? What is the difference? Is there a difference?
It's a good question. I mean, in some cases, we talked about this a little bit. In some cases, there are two tokens, enough. In many cases, there's just one. Often there's not, for these early DAOs, there's often not a huge amount of liquidity. So trading can be somewhat slow. And I guess getting the prices, it can matter somewhat what day you're checking. Which is always the case, but really because of the liquidity, the prices can change rather abruptly if someone either decides to buy a relatively large or small, or, I'm sorry, large amount, the price can fluctuate pretty significantly. When you've mentioned the governance token in addition to the DAO token, like, do you have a specific one in mind? I'm trying to think of some that have both of these.
So I actually spent some time trying to find out, because we're going to cover later. I know, don't think we forgot the affordable project. We're going to do a summary of our affordable projects, but some of them are tokens. And so I was trying to find the Shark token, the Shark DAO. And basically what I've, all roads seem to lead to CoinGecko, for me at least. I go to CoinGecko and then I can kind of look up how it's tracking, and I do it tracking against ETH because it just is easier, because all of my crypto is measured against ETH. So I do the comparison to ETH. And then I guess I just sort of look at it, like a stock. I look at the price fluctuation over time and the volume. And I think this is important because, unlike a lot of these other coins that have, thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands of holders, when you have a relatively few holders, the price, as you mentioned, can really whipsaw, because it's a marketplace and you need somebody on the other side of that. So if somebody suddenly, dumps a quarter of the supply, it's just going to tank, because you will supply and saturate the market. And that can really cause a price to bottom out quite quickly. So I, at least for one, want to take a look at what kind of volume is trading as a signal of like, wait a minute, do we have waning interest in this thing? I think it's easier to look at an NFT in some respects and be like, oh, I get it. Here are the pieces, like large chunks, right? Like, if you think about it, an NFT is it's a block of Ethereum, as opposed to the broken down, tinier fractionalization, if you'll call it, of it. And you can follow the large blocks being like, all right, someone brought that picture of a penguin for one ETH, like, okay, the market is moving. And in the fractional, I think it's a little bit harder. And how do you, like, am I looking at this the right way, do you think? What am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a little bit harder to see. I mean, well, it's definitely harder to see. I mean, that's one of the things that NFTs have really changed, that you can see what these assets are more than what a token is. And so especially when we're coming at it from the NFT world, I think this can be so different than just going into OpenSea and seeing both what the sales prices were, what the listing prices are, rather going into seeing what the token is, where it is a generally fungible token. Every one token of a DAO is worth the same as another token of that. There's no difference in saying that one is a super rare version of this particular type of token. So it's a completely different type of valuation than we're used to in the NFT world. It's much more just aligned to what a token would be. Oftentimes it does seem that governance token is the way that the name given to these, because we want to be focused on what is the functionality of the token versus trying to say that there is a price. And I think in many cases that may be just trying to skirt around the idea that there should be a value assigned to this. It's often something that the DAOs don't want even discussed a whole lot on the DAO Discord. There may be sort of unofficial ways to swap the tokens, but it's often not because the DAO itself has set up any kind of liquidity pool itself. It's where maybe someone that bought a lot of tokens has set up a liquidity pool where you can then go trade on something like Uniswap or SushiSwap. And because that's what they enable anybody to go do that. And the DAO may not be officially involved, but it is the governance token that's being traded for, that's for some value.
It's so interesting, this sort of like, oh, we don't talk about money here, even though like clearly it's in the room, and how you're like, oh, I want, but like, look, frankly, like you don't want to lose your shirt in here. One thing I'm looking at here is sort of tracking against ETH and the nature of the relationship between the price of Ethereum and the price of a DAO token. Like, how do you think of that? Are they just inherently linked? Like, is it just confusing?
No, it doesn't seem to me that they're at all linked. And I think it's very, to me, it is important to look at it compared to ETH versus compared to US dollars, because that's generally where I would have my assets. If it weren't in a DAO, they would just be in ETH. So it's not, for me, it's not generally worth considering the US dollar value as much as ETH. I'm always kind of concerned about getting out of ETH and having other assets hold as much value as ETH has run. It's moved up recently, but I'm always concerned that it may do that, and that other tokens, and whether governance tokens or more coins, whether they can hold their value versus ETH. And I think we have seen that in many cases we'll see these sort of run up a lot quickly, and then have trouble over time, much like we see with many NFT projects. The good ones sustain value and grow. A lot of others don't.
Okay, let me pull the thread some more here, because I hear you. Anytime I move my money, my ETH out of ETH and into a project, and then I watch ETH do what I know it's going to do and just freaking go up, because ETH goes up. fundamentally, right? What happens, as I understand it, is you have moved into this DAO, and it depends on what the DAO holds in, but you have traded ETH in for this token, which now means this DAO and this wallet, right? There's a wallet address somewhere that's holding Ethereum. So essentially, there is a somewhat relationship, right, where this DAO now holds a certain amount of Ethereum, usually, if it is Ethereum-backed. And so why wouldn't it be a bit more coupled? You're like, oh, this is a DAO token that is Ethereum backed, though that Ethereum could be spent on buying nouns. It could be spent on hiring somebody that creates art that distributes NFTs. But at a certain level, right there, it's asset backed. No, am I confused?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many cases they are. They aren't always that, but I think in most cases there's some asset behind them, so they should be linked in some regard. If it is NFTs that are backing the they're the asset backing the DAO in many situations when ETH runs up. You'll see that the NFT market doesn't do the same. You know, we talked about this in our podcast on the on our episode on the bear markets, and you know how the price of NFTs seems to go down when ETH is going up. So you know that can be a factor too, in that the ETH value may actually be going down while the US dollar value is going up of the treasury of the DAO. But I think on the other hand, you see that people get a little spooked in general, just like with NFTs. And at a certain point, they'd rather get out of that token, even if it is somewhat short-sighted, and get back into ETH. You know, I think if these DAOs really do hold the assets, over time, they should come back to a value that's more in line with what those assets are. And if those assets come back to be a strong ETH value and what they were valued at one point when people were buying the DAO token, then you know it's probably a good value at a certain point here.
Yeah, I think it's as fair an answer as you can give. Essentially, it's like it depends, and you know, see that episode again where when ETH increases, it's going to have downward pressure on people holding assets that they purchased with ETH, because they're like, ah, wait a minute, is this appreciating at the same rate? And it gets real weird. For example, when ETH, as I speak right now, is at 4,500-ish, bouncing around there, which, by the way, 3 months ago, what? Was it at 2,000, three, 4 months ago? Like, it more than doubled. So, you know, when I look at some of my horses that have halved, and I'm like, well, that's painful. You know, they haven't halved in the eyes of the dollar, right? But they have in terms of, well, I kind of wish I didn't spend half an ETH on a certain type of horse when I did. And I was like, oh, and that's the painful side of this. And again, why you should be very cognizant of the platform that you're buying on, right? So if we're talking about Solana, who's kicking up over, you know, $200 right now, and you buy in there and then suddenly Solana drops, what does that really mean? Is, well, if that that NFT holds its value against the base currency that you're talking about, you have a double risk. And on this side, you have the other side of the risk of, you know, opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost. Gotcha.
There it is. Look, absolutely. Econ 101. I did it. See?
Absolutely.
Opportunity cost of my Ethereum. And so for me, the way I deal with this is just, I've got my investment ETH, which just sits in a place where I can't freaking touch it, which is good. And then I've got my, you know, go learn about the world of NFT ETH. And I just try to ignore it and play these two different games. I don't know. How do you look at it?
I've spent a lot of time recently trying to think about how many of these DAOs, how many of these other tokens can outperform ETH when ETH starts really burning tokens as it should be in the future. You know, I look at some of these as like, some of these will be the additional tokens that are somewhat needed to add some liquidity to this market, because I think ETH could really start to get expensive. And of course, yes, you can always divide it, but there's going to be people that look for some alternatives, and there's going to be some quality things that survive. But I also think that we're looking at a lot of these other opportunities too much in US dollars. You'll see them often priced in US dollars. And when you think about the alternative of investing in a DAO versus in Ethereum directly, I think you've got to come up with a good thesis of why it will outperform the ETH in general and the ETH that it holds. Is it doing something to add value, or is the play to just hold this and, you know, eventually have a bigger asset? And in that case, I'm not sure it's worth the potential risk of governance issues, of potential insider directing of initiatives, of maybe getting more tokens to certain people. You know, there are risks that come along with these, and at some point that becomes kind of too much to take on if you're counting on barely getting more ETH out of this in the end than just holding the ETH itself.
Yeah. And then with it's important to note with these DAO tokens, they can be inflationary, deflationary. Look, talk to your doctor. Results may vary. It depends on what's in the laws of that governance token. You could have, you know, you buy in and suddenly there's like three times as much and you're like, uh-oh. So, you know,
And a lot of times you'll see a lot of the tokens are locked up. But, you know, you don't know how long they might be locked up or what the access is to get those. And we talked a lot about that that in our last episode on DAOs, on, you know, whether the DAO is a real decentralized organization or if it's a, you know, number of small people that have maybe too much control or access to the treasury.
Yeah. I'm not in it for a get rich quick scheme though. I think it's more for an interest of management and being able to work with the community. I'm not seeing any of these as like, all right, these are the ways to go. However,
no, you know, I don't think DAOs are at all that. I think they're going to have a really hard time. they're really going to have a hard time outperforming ETH.
Yeah.
By a significant margin, I believe.
That's the question. In my mind, like a lot of this actually kind of comes back to, I really wish there was a stable coin backed market where there was just, you know, you weren't playing this game of keeping up with ETH prices and more. It was just like, this was the price and the project can perform on its own merits as opposed to like, it's just, you know, not able to keep up with a currency that can double, mind you. Can freaking double in 3 months? Like that's unfair to ask of any project, any DAO. And I kind of wish it was just more tied to stable coins, right? That would be better.
Yeah. And it's, I can definitely see that side. And I think it also may be hard to get people to take on the risks of sort of Web3 and not have those people also into ETH, I guess. You know, can you get people that are willing to put a lot of money into Web3 type of assets and not play on the ETH network? You know, I don't know. It's unknown to me. I mean, people are doing it with Solana and other networks, I suppose. And
it's the same problem though, right? You're dealing with a wildly volatile currency as the basis of economic transaction and valuation for a separate project, right? It's, I don't know. I feel as though we can easily look back in time and be like, wait a minute, you know, like it's the Bitcoin pizza problem. You bought a piece of pizza for 17 Bitcoin, whatever it was, and you're like, yup.
Good. It becomes difficult to call it a currency if you're afraid to spend it. You know, that becomes an asset that you just hold and store, you know, and that's what Bitcoin has largely become. People don't use it to spend it. They're not using it to buy NFTs. They're not using it to do DeFi. You know, these aren't things that are on the Bitcoin network. And I'm not sure that they would happen even if they were available for the most part, because, you know, the idea isn't to really be doing much with it, but because you may be giving up the opportunity of just holding the asset. And are we getting to that point with Ethereum? You know, I think there is a risk that by building on the Ethereum network, like you said, you know, we're risking, you know, that these new startup companies, these new LLCs essentially have to be doubling or tripling at certain points when it's just not feasible or sustainable or even healthy for the company to be doing that.
All right, Andrew, we're going to go down our all about affordable project. Keep us honest and a quick rundown. Okay. Are you ready? I'm going to send you the link because it's public now. You have access to this as well as the scoreboard. Which we will update. All right. Our first project, Omnimorphs. Currently, the floor is at 0.03. The original price was 0.18. Disclosure, both Andrew and I are owners of this. They have, you know, in recent notes, fired a marketing firm. They've got a forge coming. They've shown us some graphics that are kind of interesting of what that's going to look like for merging faces, which will add a fun bit of gameplay to it. But, you know, I don't know. I would classify me as nervous. Fair?
Yeah, fair.
Fair.
Not real proud to have this one in the wallet. Hopefully something will come of it.
That would be in your wallet, not your social wallet, maybe right now?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. characters.digital. This is one that I found. You know, it's still at mint cost. The floor is still the floor. So frankly, I have a flat cost because it's just at where it has been. One of the developers actually came back. They'd gone for a little bit. This is not their primary project. So, you know, not super optimistic, but, you know, not all hope is lost. And they have still not minted out of the entire project so far. All right. The Secret Raccoon Society. This is just dead. If you want to have a funny laugh, go into their Discord and you can kind of see how the end happens. They kind of had a comeback after they killed all of the raccoons with the images. And then they had said, oh, psych, no, we're back. We have a plan. And then they were like, yeah, no, we don't have a plan. So they kind of faked us out with a second roadmap that never got delivered on. So I think they get a double rug. They double rugged the community, which
rare
has a place in history. Full disclosure, yes. I own one. But guess what? It was an affordable project. So the original price was 0.01. And the current floor is 0.0001. At a certain point, yeah, we'll chalk that up to a loss. So, right, it was an asymmetric bet, and that's fine. Next up, we have Non-Fungible Bones. Floor price, as I last checked, and you can double check me on this, Andrew, we recommended this. This is your recommendation. This was an original point of 0.08, and now this is at 0.025. So the floor has been getting a little fuzzy here. So maybe a time to buy in. Anything that you've been seeing or hearing on Non-Fungible Bones, I remember being a little suspect just because the percent of sale that was pretty high. It was up around, like, I think it was 8% for the creator, which means it's like, you know, it's going to chew into a lot of the liquidity of trading it.
No, I haven't heard much about it. Not one that I've got or have been following along with. It's at the time, something that concerned me was that there was somewhat little variety among the project, and I thought that it may kind of hit a roadblock relatively soon after that. And I didn't, because there were no super high sales and that a lot of the pieces looked relatively similar. I think any of these low price projects have also had an issue where gas has been absolutely brutal and making it virtually impossible to trade these low cost pieces. And I say low cost being for 0.1 or under for without giving 20% plus to just gas fees, which makes it quite hard for anybody to trade for any kind of profit.
I think this is super important and can't be underestimated. Remember, we talked about that sort of transaction tax. Guess what? It has a downward pressure on all of it. Guess what? Gas will get better. They're going to improve it, but it just may mean you have to hold on for 6 months. At that point, what's going to happen, right? 20% maybe go back into the prices. And so there may be an opportunity there. Next one up, Nifty League Degens. Andrew, I think this might be the best pick of the Andrew picks. This is your Cadillac. We started off at a 0.18 and now it is at a floor of 0.31, not including, and I'm not sure how to include the tokens that were distributed for it. And it has an active game that you can play. It's kind of fun. It's a little like a Mega Man style.
It takes a while to pick up a game, I've noticed, when I've tried to play it, but it is fun once you get in there and learn the controls, get the bat going. But yeah, it's the token has, I think, been a big help in keeping people active here. You know, you get a token daily by just holding this, but you also got some for minting originally. So that has given a lot of people a reason to hold on to them. And even, you know, they've been doing rewards for staking their token. So yeah, like you said, it's a little hard to price in those other things, but they are nice little added benefits for people to want to hold on to them. And it has done well for the floor.
Yeah, I really, I like that project. I like the way it's being led. They're developing, they're pretty serious about it. So thank you for getting me in on that one. Red Lion Studios, not much movement on this. Recommended this in early October, floor price 0.01, the floor as of November, as I could find, low volume 0.008. So slight loss, but frankly, I think this is one that we need, you know, this is a gas killer. I don't know if there's anything else on the comic series from Red Lion Studios.
Yeah, I've been
Eastman, right?
Yeah, I know that they had that one. I never minted that second one. I did want to, I was more interested in getting the very first one. This is a long-term play for me. I don't think that there's, I don't think there's much activity at all on this. I don't think there's been many sales at any price. So
yeah,
it's still very affordable. Hasn't moved much.
One of those small bets in history of like the first, you know, comic, as far as you can kind of tell, being released by them. Okay. Next up,
what do we got next here?
The Captcha Project. This is another Andrew special. Oh, Andrew, you're kind of eating it on this one. 0.0367 original price, floor as of November, 0.01. And, you know, just, you know, poking around the Discord there, they haven't fully minted out and the developers are sort of losing faith, I will say, and starting to talk about how much they've enjoyed their learning journey. And, you know, the community is like, just say you're giving up. So they haven't fully given up, but, you know, this is no longer their full-time passion, pride, and where they're putting their energy. So.
Yeah, that doesn't look good on that one. I think I've got some nice collector's pieces that they will hold on to because there's not much else to do with them at this point. Hopefully somebody will find some kind of collectability someday, but wouldn't recommend jumping in at that, at this, at any price.
Yeah, no. Goats, this is one I found October 11th that came out. Floor price, 0.08. Floor price as of November, 0.07. So it's still pretty flat. The community is sustaining, active. They've got a roadmap. Nothing like mind-blowing coming up. You know, I think everyone just sort of teases with tokens, but I haven't seen anything special out of there. I have been waiting, actually, on this project. I don't own any goats, though. No goats for me. Chain Faces. Mid-October, recommended this one. Original price, 0.08. Floor, 0.08. I think this is just caught in the gas economy. You know, the upside of Chain Faces for me is that it's an OG project that came out sort of after Autoglyphs, but not too much more, but it's completely on chain. And I think it has a really interesting place in history. It's just kind of just overlooked by a lot of collectors. And I own a few of these. Pretty flat here. Next one. Yeah anything else on chain? You don't have any Chain Faces, right?
I don't have any. No, I looked at them a long time ago. Never got any. They are
don't worry. The price hasn't changed. we're here waiting for you.
Yeah. All right, okay. Next we got Zed, you're saying?
Zed Run, specifically Legendary Nakamoto Phillies is what I recommend you jumping in on, if I remember in that episode. And that price is flat, 0.3. Not a lot of movement on the Legendary Nakamotos there, and I still think it's a great price. A Legendary Nakamoto Z2 at that price is just pretty strong for a breeding standpoint alone. So racing aside, like, it's just going to have strong base ability and allow you to throw off spring by breeding with lower tier horses and still producing a chance at a lottery ticket pretty affordably going in the game. So that's where I would recommend. As of now, things change. Oh, I'm excited about this next one. The Sandbox, because SoftBank jumped in, because the metaverse has gone nuts. We recommended this on our podcast that was all about, if I remember, the sort of metaverse properties. And this was our affordable project at the time. A little pricey, I will say. The original price at that time was half an ETH. It is now floor of one Ethereum. It's tough because it's now also in sand, and there are a lot of bids in sand going on, which increased, but that coming on the back of the $93 million SoftBank round, plus, you know, Facebook and Microsoft talking about the metaverse. So this is a project on the rise. So took her advice there, doing well, but this is this put me into the positive scoreboard for overall project recommendations. Okay. Enchiridion. Andrew, floor hasn't really moved. Original price, 0.16. Original price and floor is 0.15-ish. it looks like. I don't know if there's any updates you've seen there.
No, I haven't heard of any new projects. I know that they, the artists there presented at both the NFT NYC and the Art Blocks opening in Marfa, Texas recently, but I don't know that they have anything new planned.
I'm gonna make notes. Again, next. You can go to the next one. CryptoBots. I love my crypto. I picked up another.
Yeah, you picked up another. I've got a couple of these or a few of these at this point.
CryptoBots, I will say they have an AMA coming up shortly. The developers are very interested. There's a lively Discord as opposed to when we recommended this on October 21st, coming in at 0.078 at original price. The floor is now at 0.08. So a little rise there. This is Noji play to earn, first play to earn NFT on the Ethereum network. They're also coming up with additional sort of companion drops for owners. And it looks like there's definitely hierarchy around the generation zero being the original, and then gen one and on up to like 256, I think. And so I am very, very bullish on this. I like that the floor is still where it is, because this is my favorite project. It hasn't produced yet, but this is absolute top pick. That I think is where, you know, full disclosure, I'm doubling down. I now have three gen ones and one gen zero, proud to say. I sniped nice. A little gen zero.
You got the gen zero. I've got a few gen ones. We'll see what happens with that one. We'll need some gas to die down too. I think
need some gas to die down. Need a little bit of luck. Need the developers to build. There's a long way to go. Next up,
we have a lot of those. Go ahead. Yeah. Next up,
we got Two Bit Bears. Andrew recommending on October 29th. Original price 0.03, and it's up at 0.035. So a little life, a little positivity.
Andrew, I noticed you
minted bears. What did you do?
No, so they released honey. They airdropped honey to anybody that had a pair of bears, a pair of the same species of bears. They airdropped honey buckets that then could be used to breed some cubs. So I believe I bred two cubs. When you breed with these, you get between one and three. So they are actively doing things. They are airdropped to me. So it's a little added value. There's not a, this is a very low price value, low price project. So there's not much movement in these at this point, but I am very excited by the way that they go about these. It's super low tech in how they present it. And there's a great sense of humor to everything they're doing here while they're actually doing the same thing that many of these other big projects are doing.
But they're developing it. Like, they develop something, they drop something, you actually minted. Like, that means there's developers there, as opposed to like, I don't want to poop on any other projects, but Omnimorphs didn't launch with that. And these folks are producing it. I got the FOMO. I was eyeballing some bears. I put bids out. I decided to double down on CryptoBots. But now I'm wishing I had some Two-Bit Bears. I'll say that.
I'm excited about the bears. We'll see where they go, but they're still very low price. They're accessible and affordable.
Okay, SharkDAO. This was an Andrew, and I'm looking at SharkDAO, and I'm trying to peg the price October 25th. This is really tough. All right, now I'm going to get it to USD. We just talked about it, so I'm on CoinGecko, and on October 25th, it was tracking at 0.00000005. It's flat. All I'm going to just go ahead and say, it looks flat. No change.
Yeah, right? I don't know that it's going to be tough up to price some of these at this point. We should try to get an actual price in there at some point of maybe we can do, I don't know, we'll have to come up with a way of valuing 1,000 tokens or something like that at, some price that gives it.
Maybe, well, we have to get the competition in here. I mean, it's flat. I'll just say flat.
Yeah. I think what we could do is we could just say, since most of our projects have been around the 0.1 or under, I think we could say the original price of 0.1 on these and then do a new ETH price later on.
I see. Okay.
That for the game. If you had put 0.1 ETH.
Okay. So we'll do a percentage of the coin movement. So it's gone. I'll give you 0.11. I'll give you 0.01 on this one. Because it has slightly moved up.
I haven't looked
at
it.
No, you don't think so?
I don't know. I'm not looking. I actually couldn't find it on here when I... Oh, you have it linked. I see.
I got the link. Got the link for anybody tracking along. All right. Meerkats, same thing. Mechacats. Sorry, Mechacats. This was mine. Rather silly. It's still flat at 0.08. I haven't seen much in the Mechadats DAO, but we just recommended that last week. So, you know, still moving. Botto. Anything new on the Botto token? I don't know if they're even listed on there. I'll look for them.
I don't know much about what the price of the token has been doing. I think it's been going up and down a bit recently. The second piece from the auction, I believe, went for 100 ETH. The second piece that was made by this Botto AI went for 100 ETH, which is going back to buying and burning the token. So there's been a lot of up and down with the token, and there seems to be a lot of people that maybe buy to anticipate to the buying and burning, and then the buying and burning is the end of some of these the fluctuations in the price. But we'll have to figure out a way to get maybe an average price over time for something like this, because it is it really fluctuates quite drastically.
Yeah, it looks like it's gone down 0.0001 in this period of time.
Okay, there we go. So they still get a lot going on. They still have.
You know what I like about it? I get to vote on the art. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and they did just release an update where there's a lot more voting points, I noticed. And the voting has been introducing a lot of new artwork to me. So I found that whole thing interesting to participate in. So yeah. There's a lot more there. The votes, there's a lot more to, and the votes go a lot further when you are trying to select the piece for the week. So we'll see we'll see what happens with that. The token is being bought, sold. There's a lot of volume there. It's all over the place. So we'll see.
It's a fun
we'll
one. See what happens. A fun one. Okay. Well, somehow we always run over because we have so much to talk about. That's our current update on the all about affordable NFT. Keep us honest. And not that it's a game, but Andrew, currently you're down 0.09 on your bets, and I am up 0.48. Thanks only and primarily to the sandbox, which arguably wasn't as affordable as it should have been. I wish it was more. I did pick mine up at 0.3. Makes me feel better, but I will say this is a fun game. We're keeping ourselves honest and recommending it. And again, recommending that you make small bets with asymmetric upside rather than betting the farm and hoping for the best when you're out there choosing projects, because there's more projects than you have time in the day, sand on the beach. All right, Andrew, let's wrap it up. Thank you.
All right. It was another good one.
I liked it. This has been an episode of the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.